This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Time now to hear some of your feedback on our programs. And Adam Ragusa joins me now. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Anthony. We got a number of comments on our segment regarding that ill-fated legislative push to end the sales tax exemption on soda in Massachusetts. That proposal went down in flames last month.
Listener Marjorie John wrote, "How can we tax toilet paper and soap, which we all need, and not tax soda?"
Joanna agreed, adding, "The government should not be in the business of making it easier for people to buy products which make people sicker. It's analogous to giving away alcohol or cigarettes."
But RC said this, "Cigarette smoking affects all who are in the vicinity of the smoker. Drinking sugary sodas does not affect those who choose not to drink them. There are many other factors involved in excessive weight gain."
On Wednesday, we asked listeners why they thought young home ownership in Massachusetts is on the decline, and they had a lot to say.
Elaine Elmquist answered our question on Twitter saying, "Easy. Homes are expensive. How are you supposed to save up that down payment when some of us are unemployed and paying down student loans?"
Megan said the reward for taking the risk to buy a house in this economy is gaining equity, which just leads to an opportunity to borrow more money. Take on debt to be allowed to take on more debt? No thanks.
But Amanda Mantone Linehan says, "My husband and I bought a small house this fall after getting totally fed up with the price of rent in the city. We took advantage of the mass housing program, and our mortgage, including taxes and insurance, is lower than what most of our friends pay to rent apartments half the size. The trade-off for us, I postponed going to grad school, and we gave up living in the neighborhood we had loved for more than 5 years."
Well, we always appreciate hearing your stories and feedback on our show. You can find all the ways to contact us at radioboston.org.
There are few events in the history of Boston more tumultuous and painful than the busing crisis of the mid-1970s. In 1974, federal judge Arthur Garrity found a recurring pattern of racial discrimination in the city's public schools. The remedy? A busing plan to carry white kids to predominantly black schools and black kids to predominantly white schools. Now, a new film about those years will be shown tomorrow as part of the 14th Roxbury International Film Festival, which showcases the work of emerging and established filmmakers of color. Can We Talk? Learning from Boston's Desegregation tells the story of the busing crisis through the voices of the people who lived it. In this clip, Tammy Davenport recalls what it was like to be bused from Mattapan to South Boston.
We was leaving from the school, going home, and rocks were being thrown in. A rock hit this. I always talk about this because this finger, when I talk about it, I can feel it. The rock hit my finger, and it, you know, I immediately ducked, and not knowing that the kid sitting in the seat to me, the rock went in his eye. And that was just, you know, when you're 14 years old, seeing stuff like this early in the morning, going to school every day like this, it does a number on you.
Can We Talk? Learning from Boston's Desegregation was made by Scott Mercer. He's a filmmaker who lives in Dorchester, and he joins us now. Scott, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you very much, Anthony.
Well, tell me why this film now, after all these years? What inspired you to make this?
Well, what happened was the backstory of it is that the Union of Minority Neighborhoods, which is an organization that helps the disenfranchised and what I would say the people in the community that don't have a voice, they were out to help African-American parents actually create a relationship with the Boston public school system so that they could have a little more say in what the education was going to be like for their children. Well, it turned out that when they asked those parents to come and you know, meet with some of the officials from the Boston public school system, those very parents said, "I have nothing to do to say to the Boston public school people because they don't listen to us, they disrespect us." And, you know, when I was a child and I went through busing, I, you know, had a horrific experience, and so there's really nothing for me to say, and I don't want to be engaged. And this was over and over again that the UMN people on the ground heard. So they finally said, you know, the busing piece is not finished here. Just because it's out of sight doesn't mean it's out of mind.
Yeah, we like to think of it as sort of ancient history, but right. The wounds are still there. People, it still affects the way people think about public education and neighborhoods in Boston, it sounds like you're saying.
That's right. And it's generational. What was interesting was, you know, these people are now 40, 50 years old. And, you know, they still have that same, you know, those memories that you just played with Tammy. they still have these memories, and they're still making decisions based on what happened back then today.
Hmm. I want to play another clip from the film. You interviewed Robert Lewis Jr. About those years. Today, Lewis runs the Boston Foundation Street Worker Program. Back in the day, he was a black high school kid living in East Boston, and he spoke quite powerfully about those years. And just a warning to listeners, in the following clip, he reminds us of some of the rough racist language that was used back then, but let's just listen.
And that was what the big issue was, is like, we're not going to have those black, not you. You're not one of them. You're our East Boston black. Busing was not you because you're one of our East Boston niggers. And the thing that busing did do is it created this chaos that there was a subset of folks, not the whole East Boston, that acted crazy. And a subset of folks ended up firebombing my family and a bunch of other families from Maverick because at that point, for some reason, they didn't want blacks in East Boston.
So that's Robert Lewis Jr. talking about his experience. Scott Mercer, you know, there's a case where the busing experiment designed to ease racial segregation, of course, aggravated. How often did you hear that in putting this film together?
Well, what's interesting is I heard it a lot. And what was interesting for me, I'm from New York, so I was far removed from it other than some family members who might have been, or not might have been, they were in college and they were told not to go to certain areas because of the racial strife. Now, what people were saying was that they actually, you know, still felt like it still existed, and they actually, the reputation for Boston was terrible because they said, we didn't really want to leave our neighborhood schools. We simply wanted our schools to be better or equal to the other neighborhood schools. And if you, what I learned from it was that people said, you know, this was one of those situations where I was walking to school one day, and the next day I was not only being bused, but I was being bused to a neighborhood where people were out on the street yelling me to go, you know, all these racial epithets and telling me to get home, you know, go home and throwing rocks, et cetera. And a lot of, you know, not a lot, but there's at least one or two who dropped out of school as a result of it because they said, if it's going to cost my life or injury to me, I am not going to school like this every day.
Yeah, that was one of the things that struck me about the clips I saw from your film is people who made that decision, literally, this is not worth going to school. I'm risking my life to go to
That's
high
right.
school.
That's yeah. right. And now there's one story, one person in there, and she talks about how it became generational because when her daughter was not having a good time at school and she didn't want to go on the bus, she couldn't argue with her because she knew the story of her mother. And so here you now have two dropouts. Mm. And fortunately, the mother did go back to school and she did get, you know, her GED and went on to college and graduated. But, you know, a lot of them said, you know, they feel like the Boston public school system owes them something, either an education or a compensation, because they never got what was the right for every Boston citizen.
Mm. Scott, your film makes clear that this crisis affected white students in a big way as well. And I want to play another clip. This is Catherine Hennessy, who was a high school kid from Charlestown. Let's listen.
They were prejudiced against us because we came from the projects in Charlestown and we must all be thugs and bad kids and poor kids. And so we faced that prejudice from those kids. So I kind of really got a sense then of, wow, this is what they were really dealing with, you know.
I found that clip awfully moving, Scott. I mean, I know that there was sort of unforgivable racism at work throughout that period, but a lot of kids suffered all across the city.
Absolutely. And Catherine, what she's referring to is she went to a Catholic school in Cambridge. And because she was from Charlestown, that's the perception that they had about her.
I see.
And also her parents sent her there because her parents didn't, and she'll tell you that her parents are racist, they didn't want her to go to school with black kids. So the repercussions and the ripple effect of it are huge. But more importantly, there was never any sort of therapeutic process for those who went through that. And for me, what I loved about doing this piece was learning firsthand what impact it truly had. And so no matter what you say in terms of, you know, it's 30 years later, get over it, move forward, that's just insensitive and wrong.
Well, Scott Mercer, he's an independent documentary filmmaker living and working in Dorchester, Mass. His film, Can We Talk? Learning from Boston's Desegregation, will be shown tomorrow at the Blackman Auditorium at Northeastern University, 3:15 p.m. It's all part of the 14th annual Roxbury International Film Festival. Scott Mercer, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Anthony.
Stay with us. Coming up, Monday is the bicentennial of the War of 1812. We remember that patriotic New England came close to leaving the Union over the conflict. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.